Okay, we're in Hebrews chapter 1, the last part of verse 2 and verse 3 today. In the last message, we saw the fact that God has spoken. In verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God spoke in times past by the prophets. That is, the Old Testament was divine revelation, and Judaism was established by God. But God is now speaking in these last days through his Son, Jesus Christ. In regards to the letter of Hebrews, we said it's absolutely essential to understand that Judaism was brought to an end and realized in the person of Jesus Christ. The revelation of God finds its completion in Jesus Christ, and there is no more revelation since that time that the Word of God was established. Now, why did God speak through his Son? Jesus spoke to expound the mind of God and express the heart of God. And the next question is, well, why should we listen to him? If God has spoken to his Son, why should I listen? And we find that answer in the next two verses of our text from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and the upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This verse gives us, and it's the title of our message today, seven reasons to hear Jesus. Why should we listen? Seven reasons to hear Jesus. Number one says, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. And to understand well this concept of Jesus Christ being the heir of all things, we need to go back and read a passage that explains why Christ holds this position of being the heir of all things. So we need to go for a moment to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Bible is absolutely clear that it was the plan of God, established before the foundation of the world, that Jesus Christ would come to the earth, and that he would take a body in order to have it to give as the perfect sacrifice, that he would die, that he would be buried, and that he would be resurrected. And because of this act of condescension on the part of Jesus, God has sovereignly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And part of the, and one aspect of the exaltation of Jesus Christ includes the fact that he has been appointed by God to be the heir of all things. Did you see that in our verse? Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him. Why? Because he was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. Because of that act of condescension, God has exalted Jesus above every other person that ever walked the face of the earth. And part of that means he has been appointed the heir of all things. And we see the fulfillment of this, by the way, in the book of Revelation, chapter 11 and verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. The day is coming when everything that belongs to Christ will be given over to him. In simple words, in poor words, at the end, everything will belong to Christ. And God the Father will require that every tongue will confess him as Lord. Therefore, we should listen to him now. We should glorify him now before it's too late. Why should we listen? Because God has appointed him as heir of all things, because God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. The second reason why we should listen to his son, why we should listen to Jesus Christ, in verse 2 says, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, we need to understand why the book of Hebrews was written, and that's, we find the purpose for the book in chapter 5 in verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Chapter 6 and verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. So this letter was written to admonish these new Christians, these still spiritually immature Christians, to go on to the word used as perfection. And the word perfection in this case means completeness, maturity, or a higher state of intelligence. And so in order to help these believers go on to spiritual maturity, this letter is written as a profound exposition in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, our verse contains the heart and the soul of one of the reason why we must listen to Jesus Christ. It contains the heart of spiritual maturity. Read it again. By whom also he made the worlds. Spiritual maturity is based on the fact that Jesus Christ is Creator. Without truly understanding that fact, spiritual maturity is impossible. Unless we recognize Jesus Christ as the Creator, it's impossible to arrive at spiritual maturity. We will forever be spiritually immature. And we discover the profundity of Jesus Christ as Creator through the different words that are used to describe the creation in the New Testament. We're going to go back, we're going to come back to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 here in a minute, 3 here in a minute. But for now, let's go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Very familiar verses to us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So whoever the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Okay, so the Word was God. He was right there with God in the beginning, and he made everything. Now let's drop down to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So God made the world. What's interesting is he was in the world, and the world knew him not. The word world in the original language, in the Greek language, is the word cosmos, which means the earth, the universe, material, all the material things that exist. Therefore, this verse is telling us that Jesus Christ created everything material. He created the universe. He created the earth. He created us as human beings. And a mature reasoning, a spiritually mature person would say, because Jesus has created me, he therefore knows me perfectly and can guide me. Therefore, I should listen to him. Spiritual maturity realizes this fact and seeks constantly to trust in the Word of God. Why? Because he's the Creator, and therefore he knows us and he can guide us. Now let's go back to our text in Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 2, and we find another word that is absolutely tremendous in our text concerning Jesus Christ as Creator. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, by whom also he made the worlds. Now in John chapter 1, it was chapter 1, he made the world, was the word cosmos, which is the universe, the ball of mud we call the earth, material things that exist. But here, by whom also he made the worlds, the word that's translated universe or worlds here in the original language is the word aeons, which means the forevers, or the ages, or time. Jesus Christ made the forevers. Jesus Christ created time. Jesus Christ created and ordered all the ages according to his eternal plan and purpose. He has a plan for the ages, and he is sovereign over that. Now let's apply that to our spiritual lives. We go on to spiritual maturity when we understand and we believe that Jesus is capable of guiding our lives because he created all of time. He orders all of time. He has a plan for it, and therefore we should trust him to guide our lives. Jesus has created everything that exists, whether it's material or immaterial. Consider Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So if our Creator has spoken, then we should listen to him and we should trust him. And that is a spiritually mature mindset. And we must recognize Jesus Christ as Creator. And it only makes sense that the Creator of all things would be the heir of all things. Number three, why should we listen to Jesus Christ? Verse three, who being the brightness of his glory. And the brightness of his glory has the idea of shining forth light. Jesus came to shine forth the light regarding the person of God. In these verses, this verse is talking about the fact that Jesus manifests the attributes of the Father. And Jesus can show us God's attributes because they're one and the same. Let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 14. Very famous and very well-known verses again. But we're going to, usually we quote 1 through 6, but we're actually going to start in verse 7. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for my very works' sake. Now verse 9, notice that. Have I been so long time with you, and has you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. Jesus has shed forth light. He's revealed to us the Father, his attributes, everything about him. Simply put, and we mentioned this in the first message, that Jesus is the full revelation of God. If we want to see the Father, we look at Jesus. He has revealed to us God the Father. He has shined the light on the person of God the Father. Now, how is it possible that Jesus can be the full revelation of God, and that he was one with the Father? Well, the rest of verse 3 explains it to us. Who being the brightness of his glory, and here's the fourth reason why we should listen to Jesus, and the express image of his person. Jesus is the full revelation of God, and he's one with the Father because both of them are part of the same essence. Jesus in his essence was equal to the Father. The word imprint or express image is the original word character, which means the exact representation of a person or a thing. We understand this today on a computer screen. There's a thing called an icon. You click on that and it is the exact it leads you to the program. It is the exact representation. It is the essence of the thing. Now you need to listen to me here, because this makes the difference between heaven and hell. Jesus Christ was not a certain type of deity. Jesus Christ was not a God. Jesus Christ was not as we are that became a God. Jesus Christ is equal to the Father in his essence. They are one and the same. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. We already read it in John chapter 1. Yet the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by Him that were made. And then we go down to chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word, remember, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now I understand perfectly well that we can never fully understand the divinity of Christ and the humanity of Christ, but it doesn't change the fact that that's what the God, what the Bible teaches. It doesn't change the fact that God Himself took human form in the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says this, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." We will never understand it. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It's a huge mystery. We can't understand it, but God was manifested in the flesh. The mystery and the wonder of our Savior is that the Father sent a part of Himself, of His own essence, in human form in the person of Jesus Christ. The Creator became as the creature in order to save us. We already read it in Philippians chapter 2, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was found in the likeness of men." In fact, all the content of Hebrews chapter 2 is concentrated on the fact of the humanity of Christ. And we're going to see that in the next message. Now, I can't understand for the life of me why there are certain religious groups that say Jesus never once claimed to be God. The religious leaders in Jesus' day understood perfectly well the fact that Jesus made Himself equal to God. Listen to John chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal to God." The Jewish leaders wanted to kill Jesus for blasphemy for making Himself equal to God. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Whatever the Father does, the Son does it too, which, by the way, includes being the Creator. And then Jesus said this in John chapter 8 and verse 24, "I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins." He's speaking to the same religious leaders. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Now, why is this important? Because in Exodus chapter 3, in verses 13 and 14, when Moses meets God at the burning bush, and God wants to send him to the nations, to the nation of Israel, Moses is concerned about that, and he asks the question, "Who will I say sent me?" when they ask in chapter 3 of verse 13. "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is His name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am, if you do not believe that I am Jehovah God, you will die in your sins. And that's why I said that this is the difference between heaven and hell. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, that God was incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins. You will die and go to hell, separated from God. It is not enough to believe that Jesus was a good teacher, or that Jesus was a certain type of God, or that Jesus was a God or a good man. You must believe that Jesus Christ was God incarnate in order to truly know Him. because he's the express image of his person. He's the same. He's the exact representation. He is the essence of God. The fifth reason for which we must listen to Jesus, in verse 3, in upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus is not only creator, but he's also the sustainer of all things. Listen to the logic in this verse. In the past, Jesus created everything. He was the creator. In the future, he's going to inherit everything. And today, Jesus is sustaining everything. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6, but unto us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Now consider this fact. In 2018, the population of the world is 7.6 billion people. 7.6 billion people. Think about the intelligence and the power that it takes to sustain the lives of 7.6 billion people every day. Now, let's apply this to our lives as believers. If Jesus Christ has the power to create everything, and he has the mind to sustain everything, don't you think we should listen to him? How could we ever doubt his capacity to guide our lives? It doesn't make any sense to trust in our own capacity more than his. So to arrive at spiritual maturity, we must understand, we must take into account that Jesus is the creator and the sustainer of all things, and therefore he has the capacity to guide us in the right way. That is spiritual maturity. The sixth reason why we must listen to Jesus, it says, when he had by himself purged our sins. Jesus doesn't need help. The church doesn't add to what Jesus did. Jesus by himself purged our sins. We must listen to him because he's our Savior. It is a equally miracle that God created the world as it is that he could pardon sinners. It is a great miracle that Jesus by himself purged our sins. He by himself pardoned humanity. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And a logical question is, how is it possible that the death of one man, that the life and the death of one man could have value sufficient enough to pay the debt for every person that's ever existed on the face of the earth? How can Jesus be that valuable? And the answer is because he was God incarnate. Because the Creator became creature and he lived a perfect life without ever committing a sin. Because Jesus is the sustainer and the heir of all things, who abased himself and took on the form of a servant. Because Jesus is the only Savior that by himself purged our sins. We must listen to him. We must trust him because he saved us. He is our Savior. And this is the heart of spiritual maturity. And now we'll conclude with the seventh point. Why should we listen? Because Jesus sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And this speaks of Jesus' position today. Because Jesus has sat down at the right hand of God, the right hand of the majesty on high, the right hand of the throne of God, that means at least four things, or speaks of four different things about Jesus' position today. It's a position of honor because it's at the right hand of God. It's a position of authority. The right hand speaks about the power of God. It's a position of rest because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, not pacing, not fretting. He's sitting at the right hand of God because his work is complete. Salvation is done. It is finished. And it's a place of intercession. It's a place of honor. It's a place of authority. It's a place of rest. And it's a place of intercession. Jesus is always at the right hand of God, ever interceding on our behalf. And on the basis of who Jesus Christ is, we must listen to him. We must trust in his word. And to sum it up, to reject Jesus Christ in his word is to reject God. In John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Therefore I speak, whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as his Father said unto me, so I speak." To reject the words of Jesus is to reject God. So this is the message for us today. It's the same message from the first two verses in the book. Why should we listen to Jesus? Why? What is he saying? What does God say? What is God saying to us today? Hear Jesus. Hear Jesus. He's our creator. He's our sustainer. He's our savior. He's the heir of all things. He's the king of all kings and lord of all lords. Hear him, because to reject him is to reject God.